Grace and peace be to you
from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word that is before us this morning is from Matthew 22:15-22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, it's really good to be back home again among you after a 4,000-mile car trip through 9 states. Our Lord graciously blessed the gathering of our brothers and sisters in Christ at the CLC convention this year, and I bring you greetings from many of your fellow Christians. During that nearly a month that I was gone, I traveled as far as I wished. I stayed where I wanted to stay. I ate what I wanted to eat, and it was good food, and visited family and friends. And nowhere along the way was I afraid of being attacked by terrorists or persecuted for my faith. I didn't have to carry a gun, although people talk about that as a necessity these days. I felt safe. On Wednesday morning, as I left for the long trip home from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, 5 o'clock in the morning, a bald eagle raced alongside my car. And I was reminded once again of one of my favorite songs. "This land is your land. This land is my land." You know that song? From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. We could also say that we were made for this land. The announcement of 2 significant Supreme Court decisions last week did nothing to reduce my thanksgiving to God for making me a citizen of the United States of America. God's loving kindness has placed us here, rather than in the Middle East or in any other trouble spot on this planet. Our loving and merciful God not only sent his Son to ransom us from our sins that we might have eternal mansions in heaven, but he has also placed us here along the way for his glory and for the spread of his eternal kingdom. For he has, as Paul says in Acts 17, determined the pre-appointed times and boundaries of our dwellings. Because of God's blessing, let us give back to the government. "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's," Jesus said. These Pharisaic hypocrites who came to our Lord did not want to pay taxes to a government that they felt despised them. And truly, the Roman government did despise the Jews. Nevertheless, these taxes that were exacted by the Romans were used to protect the Jewish community, to build roads, to provide law and order in their communities. Consider the hypocrisy of those today who would fight to retain the word God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and at the same time begrudge the government the taxes that are due, whether state or federal. There are many people out there who appear to be very religious, but who justify their cheating on their income tax return. Yet the Apostle Paul commanded in his letter to the Roman Christians that you heard earlier that they were to pay taxes. And they were to pay taxes and give honor to those to whom it was due, when the ruler at the time was one of the worst emperors Rome ever saw, Nero, who crucified Christians and covered them with pitch and lit them up as torches, so that people could find their way along the streets of Rome. Paul said, pay your taxes, because the government is your servant. He said that irrespective of any government. It's just an objective truth that God ordains the governments. Our Savior is not only speaking about the payment of taxes in our text. He says we are to give back the things that are Caesar's. What God is saying here is that the government benefits also from our prayers. The government benefits from all the ways that we may support our leaders. We may strongly disagree with the policies of our president and other government leaders, even as countless Christian citizens have in centuries past. We may disagree. Our voice and our vote should be heard. God has made this our responsibility, our duty as citizens of this country. But we all must be careful that we do not sound like the unbelieving citizens of our nation, who can do nothing more for their leaders than complain and be bitter against them and hateful. This is not the way of the child of God, who is a citizen of heaven first and only a pilgrim here. Our sincere prayers are far more important and effective than politicking for politicians or against them. Our thanksgiving will be more useful than our constant complaining to one another about them. So our conversation should be seasoned with some grace, with that salt that makes us salty when we're talking politics in our day and in the days to come. We may talk politics, but let's be sure that we thank God for his loving kindness, placing us where he has. And what about the work of our courts, law enforcement, officers, firefighters, soldiers, the ones who guard our homes, our national borders, and our freedoms? Do we pray for them? Do we support them as we ought? Are we have failed to appreciate the loving kindness of our God who has placed us in America on our way to heaven? Mostly by failing to do all that we can do for our government and its leaders. May God forgive us for Jesus' sake, and may he help us to take these words of Paul to heart, the words he spoke to Timothy when he wrote, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow, what a context. So God in his loving kindness has blessed us with this government, and we are to give back to it by recognizing that God wants to save all people, and that's the purpose of government, so that we can in peace proclaim the word of salvation, that all people might hear it and be saved. Ah, yes, God our Savior, Paul says. Thoughts of God's loving kindness upon returning from convention includes also this from our text. Because of God's love, give back to him what is his. We shouldn't think of our giving to God as a tax that is imposed by law, the way the world's kingdoms impose taxes by law. Jesus is not talking about law in this text when he says, give back or render to God what is his. What he's talking about is what is good and right. Because of God's love for us in Christ, regardless of any law. For example, if your neighbor loans you money or food and drink because you have no money to buy it for yourself, will you accept it? You think that we should return it? Whether there's a law or not? Of course, because you know what is good and right. What you've been given by your neighbor for your benefit is to be used by you, and you are to return it with thanks. Gladly. And you wouldn't expect your neighbor to demand that you return something to him that he never gave you in the first place. Neither should we ever think that our loving God asks more of us than he has the right to ask. He never gives us less than he has asked from us in return. Look at the verb render in our text. It ought to be translated better, return or give back, as some other translations have rendered it. God doesn't first give us anything or ask anything of us that he has not already given us first. I think it was significant at our CLC convention 2 weeks ago that we were encouraged and we encouraged one another to give back to the God of our salvation, to serve him. But throughout the convention, we were being continually reminded that God gave himself first to us when he reconciled us to himself through the life, sufferings, and death of his own beloved Son, who died on the cross and was raised again because of our justification, because we are declared righteous before God. We are constantly put in mind of what God has given us first. The forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation are things of God. That is, these are his alone to give. No one else can give them. And he's given them to us so freely, so abundantly. And these are things which God has called us to give back to him by sharing them with others. And the wonder of it is, we could spend 1,000 lifetimes and we could never give back the gospel riches to such an extent that we no longer have them for ourselves. We can't outgive God. And what about the many gifts and talents you all possess, along with all your worldly possessions? All are really the things of God, aren't they? Doesn't he say, do I not possess heaven and earth? Recently someone said, a fellow Christian, we have everything we need and more at this point in our lives, except our health. The Lord is the one who possesses everything in heaven and earth. And he gives to us abundantly whatever we need, whatever is good for us at every moment of our lives. Surely we would gladly give back what he has given to us first. When I think of the cost of our rapidly expanding mission program, the cost of increasing professors' and missionaries' salaries, the cost of paying for the ILC Academic Center, and a couple of other items that were added to the budget by the delegates this summer convention, I'm tempted to say that's asking too much. It's more than we can do. But then I remember that God's loving kindness in Christ never demands my things from me. There isn't anything I have, from my wealth to my health, that He has not given me on loan. Nothing that I have of which I am not to be a good steward to His glory and for the sake of others. He never demands my things from me. He only asks for His things. And we know, according to Paul's words to the Romans, we know that having freely given us His own Son, He will surely freely give us all other things. Why am I so thick-hearted? Or thick-headed, I should say. Why am I so hard-hearted to believe that all things are possible with this God, the Creator, who happens to be my God for no other reason but His own grace and mercy? How can I be so hard-hearted and thick-headed as to doubt that He will provide everything when He's already delivered my immortal soul from my greatest enemies, sin, death, and hell? And I know you all feel the same way, because of the Spirit that moves within you and the faith that you share in our Lord Jesus. He opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing, the psalmist tells us. And that's our experience. We know it. We know that He is the one, in order to satisfy the needs and pleasures of His billions of creatures, He is the one who opens the windows of heaven and drops the fatness and the rains to the earth. And finally, we ourselves are also among the things of our God, aren't we? Well, our flesh doesn't want to think that way ever. But we are the things of God, and we know this by faith in Jesus Christ. For you were bought with a price, Paul writes. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And again, Paul reminds us of the believer's epitaph. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. From baptism, of which we sung earlier, until the very end of our breath in this world and forever after, we who are in and of the Lord by His grace will live and die in Him. This thing belongs to Him too. And all those things out there. Because of God's loving kindness, let us give back to the government which He has given us. And then also let us give back to Him the things that are His. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts. In Christ Jesus. Amen.